This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is a former Super Bowl champion two times. You can see him on NFL Network, NFL Network's NFL Playbook. Let's bring back to the program here Sean O'Hara. Sean, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. I like the music.
Oh, cool.
I like the Santana. You know, I'm kind of surprised you didn't go with the Santana with Rob Thomas, a little smooth.
Well, it's Woman Crush Wednesday. We didn't want to insult Rob Thomas, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, I get it. I didn't know the hashtag was Woman Crush. Yeah, he probably wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah, well, he's a big listener to the show, so we do have to watch what we do. But let's talk before we get to the Final Four. Let's talk about Antonio Brown in particular, and Bruce Arians, now the head coach at Tampa, dropped the diva designation on Antonio Brown, and it's been a lot of a dysfunction, it seems, this season for him in Pittsburgh. First of all, two-parter, is he done in Pittsburgh, and is he a diva, and will that affect him possibly finding a new home in this offseason?
Yeah, well, I love what you guys are doing. Woman Crush Wednesday, let's start with AB. I call them wide receiver divas, to be honest with you. He's not the first one, and he won't be the last. I mean, we've seen it before with T.O. We've seen it before with you know with the acting out and the me above team idea and concept. I'll say this: the Steelers have been known to ship problematic wide receivers out. They didn't resign Plaxico Burress when he went to the Giants as a free agent. They did it with Santonio Holmes. This is a little bit different because he's under contract, and look, he's arguably one of the best receivers in the game. So it's tough to really say if you're the Steelers, that's it, we're done. And, you know, I think there definitely needs to be some communication. That, to me, is the biggest surprise of all this. You know, I don't understand how, as a player, you're not a man about things, and I don't know how he hasn't had any communication with Mike Tomlin. I don't know how you ask your agent to, you know, call the head coach the day of the game and say, hey, can you see if he'll let me play? I mean, that's like asking your mom to write you a note for why you were late to school or, you know, to get out of recess. You know, what are we, 12 years old? That makes no sense to me. He needs to be a man and step up, and if he's got beef, then address it. Don't do it through social media. Do it man-to-man, face-to-face. That's my beef with all that. I think, you know, as a teammate, I'd have a hard time if I had a guy with that much talent and that we're counting on with our season on the line and a chance to move on to the playoffs. And in this, you know, look, in this game, you never know year to year when you're going to get hot and need to go on a run and hoist that Lombardi. So every year you got a shot. All you got to get in is get in the tournament. You need a chip in the chair. And to have the chance to do that, and then to have a guy, you know, I'm okay if you don't practice Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but you don't show up on a Saturday, you don't show up to treatment, if you're hurt, get healthy, get right, and you don't show up, and you basically bail on us, I got a problem with that as a teammate.
Hey, Sean, talk about week leading up to NFC, as a former player, so I'll say NFC championship game, what that week is like for player. Anything different? More studying, more lifting? Talk about the week prior to the championship game.
Yeah, I'd like to think that everybody is preparing as hard and as possible all year long, but you definitely feel the adrenaline kick in. I think the one thing that people maybe don't understand or appreciate during the season is when you know you have 16 games to play, you know, you're playing the game, but then every week it's hard emotionally and it's hard to get yourself amped up. When you come to week 13, 14, 15, 16, your body's banged up. But when the playoffs show up, there is no saving anything for next week. There is no, hey, we got another game. Like, you're all out. So the intensity is up a couple notches. And I think what that does is that starts on Wednesday. It starts with the preparation. I think everybody kind of becomes hyper-focused knowing, man, this is a big game. The meeting rooms, I always felt like, you know, this week the meeting rooms were much better. Everybody was locked in. Nobody's sleeping in the back with the hoodie up. You know, even the young guys, you know, everybody's on board. Practice, you don't have to manufacture energy. We used to have a joke, you know, hey, during the regular season, you know, you'd hand out false enthusiasm pills. You know, it was like, hey, guys, let's just try to, you know, try to fake it and get yourself going. You don't have to pass out any of those pills on championship week. I think the hype also starts on Wednesday. And what always ends up happening every week, every year in the postseason, somebody falls for the trap. Somebody says something that's going to ruffle feathers. You know, they start the podium. Players that aren't used to going up to the podium on Wednesdays and Thursdays now go up there, and they can find themselves getting caught or getting trapped into saying something that they probably shouldn't say.
All right, Sean, I know you've played in both venues. Talk about the difficulties playing in Kansas City, because I've been there. That one's tough. And New Orleans. Talk about the two venues for, you know, New England coming in and the Rams coming in.
Yeah, obviously the noise factor is going to be huge in both of them. For the Saints, you know, that place, you just feel like your molars are rattling in your helmet. You know, I remember looking back at Eli, you know, and he's trying to tell me, you know, we're changing the mic. Hey, the wheel's now the mic. And I could see the lips moving, and I just but I couldn't hear. And, I mean, he's right next to me. So the communication at the line, certainly when you play down in New Orleans, is huge. That Superdome, you know, feels like the ceiling is the drum of a speaker, and it's just bouncing up and down on you, and you can feel the bass kicking into your helmet. So that part of it's huge. I always felt like when we played down there, we had to get out of the huddle quick. I always wanted to speed up. Hey, let's get out of the huddle, you know, maybe with 18 seconds. You know, maybe if we're normally breaking with 14 or 15 seconds, let's get those two or three extra seconds at the line are crucial if you need to make an adjustment protection-wise, or, you know, you got to turn to the right and turn to the left. So, you know, not having those delay of games on the road is big, and it always kind of felt like that was your job as a center to get everybody in and out, and as a quarterback to get everybody lined up. The crowd feels it. They feed off of that. So that noise is definitely a factor. There's been times where I feel like, too, down there, man, Drew Brees can just light it up. Now, we didn't see that last week. He threw an interception based on his first pass. But so many times you go down there, you look up, it's 14 to nothing. You're halfway through the first quarter, and you're like, what the heck just happened? You know, it's like somebody slipped you a hurricane. I think for the Chiefs, obviously the big factor with this game is going to be the weather. And I think the colder and nastier it is, the more it favors the Patriots. Their ability to run the ball, what they did to the Chargers defense last week was pretty unbelievable. So I think their power running game is probably a little bit better than the Chiefs. And I think that could end up being a factor. That field, you know, if it gets a little bit mushy, I know they've got heaters underneath the field. Sometimes that just makes it even muddier if there is any moisture in the grass. So that could be a factor for guys like Tyreek Hill, you know, who kind of struggle coming in and out of breaks when they've got some loose turf. So the noise is definitely a factor there. And I think that nobody does a better job of handling that than Tom Brady in that offense. You'll see them go no huddle just to try to quiet the crowd and not give them the chance to, you know, to really elevate the noise.
Sean O'Hara joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You see Sean tonight, 6:30 on NFL Network's NFL Playbook. He is a Super Bowl champion. Andy Reid, staying with the Chiefs, does he need to get to and obviously win a Super Bowl to cement whatever legacy he might be chasing, or people that judge those sort of things want to see?
I think there's a lot of people that probably, you know, would hold that against him. I think he's a phenomenal coach, and you know, he's also, not only is he a great X and O's guy, just from guys that have played with him and played for him, he's a guy that I would have loved to have played for. And I think the relationship he has with his players is a big part of why he's been so successful. You know, he kind of is Sean McVay, you know, just a little bit older and maybe a little bit heavier. I think that when you look at what he's done and the way that he's done it, I mean, when he left Philly, you know, people were saying, man, we're letting a good coach walk out the door, but all right, it's time for a change. I get it. People that run front offices, you know, Vinny knows this better than anybody. Sometimes they just like change. And, you know, you see what he's done now in Kansas City. I mean, the guy can coach. He can flat out attack defenses. week in and week out, he finds a way to put up unbelievable numbers. And I think he's got the guy that can find a way to win in the game in the fourth quarter. I think he won a lot of games with Alex Smith, and I have a lot of respect for Alex Smith, the quarterback. Mahomes is a different cat. I think Andy Reid knew it when they went out and drafted him. I think he found his guy that's going to fit his system perfectly and take his system to the next level. I would certainly be rooting for Big Red because I'd love to see him, you know, get a Super Bowl ring and kind of put that nonsense talk to bed.
Hey, Sean, when you were a player, like the week of NFC Championship game, did you see any difference in the coaching staff prior to that game, you know, and Super Bowl than you had during the season?
You know, every coach is different. You know, some coaches, yeah, you know, we talk about the, you know, tighter than a crab's, you know what, you know, that saying, and, you know, and that's waterproof in case you're
right.
Wondering. I think you look at a lot of the coaches, they are so cognizant of that it's like, hey, you know what, we're going to keep doing what we've always done. And I think Coach Coughlin was very big on, look, we're going to be the same, you know, and we treat – one of his big sayings was practice and prepare as if you lost your last game. And his old mindset was, I don't care if we win or lose, we're coming back and we're going to do the same stuff. But I think the energy was definitely there. You know, I think one of the things that kind of gets lost on the season is – I used to always notice a difference just because in the playoffs, you know, the coaches weren't necessarily grinding towards the next game plan. I would always kind of tease them like, hey, man, you're much more pleasant to be around when you actually get 2 more hours of sleep. So that lack of sleep aspect maybe is not so much of a factor in the playoffs here. You can actually kind of shut it down, and I think that kind of helps.
Sean, real quick, what two teams headed to Atlanta? As
oh
participants.
Yeah, I can't count Tom Brady and the Patriots out. I love what the Chiefs are doing. I love what Mahomes has brought to the table. And, you know, my first instinct is to say, man, the Chiefs are going to win. And I look back at their game in week 6 against the Patriots. You know, Mahomes threw a touchdown to Tyreek Hill to tie the game 40-40. And the fact that they were able to put up 40 points and still have a chance to win that game, and he threw 2 interceptions earlier on. One of them was in the red zone, by the way. You know, that blows your mind that he was able to manufacture that. But I think given the conditions, I saw Mahomes miss some throws last week, and some of it was the weather. You know, hey, the ball's a little bit harder, a little bit colder. Maybe now those little, you know, sidearm whippy throws maybe a little bit tougher. I mentioned the receivers kind of slipping a little bit, played a part. I don't think there's a better cold weather quarterback than Tom Brady. So I think that their style of offense would handle that better. So I see the Patriots in Atlanta again. And I think that the Saints, as good as the Rams are offensively, I think the Saints defense showed why they are the most balanced and best overall team. The fact that they were down 14-0 in the first quarter, and everybody said, oh, my gosh, look at what's happening here. I mean, how many teams did we see in the playoffs get down 14-0, and that was a wrap? I mean, the Texans were down 14-0. They couldn't come back. You see teams go up early, and that's it. They were able to pitch a shutout for the next 3 quarters, and that's because of that defense. So I'll take the Saints and the Patriots.
Sean O'Hara, check him out tonight, 6:30. It is NFL Playbook on NFL Network. Sean, we appreciate the time.
Thanks, Sean.
Enjoy the Super Bowl. Right. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy Women Crush Wednesday.
You got it. And I'll say hi to Rob Thomas while he's listening to it. Sean O'Hara, Super Bowl champion for the Giants back in 2007. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.